Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, the little house up top, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Visit our friends. They're good people. Riverland Roofing power a lot of what we do here at Talk of Champions. Everything we do at Talk of Champions is powered in some way by the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com and Foot of On 3. That QR code on your screen right there beside Zach's head. And we got to figure out what the hat game is today for Zach. Want to know the story behind that one? Right beside his head is a QR code for the Ole Miss Spirit. Scan it as a new member. Try us out. $1 for 5 days before it switches to an annual sub. $1. Try us out for 5 days. Nothing to lose. The MLB draft is tomorrow. We're watching a number of players, not just the first rounders in Taylor Rabe and Kate Townsend. There's a new football commitment and roster building, and churn continues both in football, basketball, baseball, you name it. And we're going to cover it all in this Recruiting Central edition of Talk of Champions. Hey, Zach.
Hello. Good afternoon, Ben. How we doing?
Living the dream. What's the story behind the hat? What is PASS? P-A-S.
It's actually pronounced Pas Normal. It's a cycling brand. I'm, you know, Tour de France, getting dialed in, watching the fellas out there, you know, do some climbing, do some sprinting, you know, just repping for the tour.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of floored by the chat. The very first comment is from our guy at NateGo43, Braun to the Warriors soon. Is that something that's happened or happening?
I don't know. I did see my buddy Matt Norlander say that I think the tweet said the kaboom is coming. That was yesterday. Maybe he's got a scoop on, maybe that's what he's referring to. He hasn't said anything else in reference to that. So,
I think Nate was just trying to make it happen.
Unless I've seen a Shams bomb, I don't believe it.
I don't really believe sham bombs anymore, you know, because it's got all the agent language and stuff. In the old days, Woj just, we didn't know how good we had it. Woj just was different breed, different animal. When he dropped it like a bomb and moved on. I'll call them like sham wows, but they're not the same. They don't hit the same. Nate is just hoping that LeBron goes to the Warriors. We here at Talk of Champions, we'll talk LeBron, but mostly we talk all things Ole Miss, and we thank you for joining us today. At Dakota King 2457 said he heard a top three of the 76ers Heat and Cavs. I've heard that too, and I want it to be the Cavs. I remember exactly where I was when LeBron went back to Cleveland. My brother and I were in Chicago. He was there for a job interview, and I heard it driving down Michigan Avenue. It was awesome. Awesome. So I want him to finish there. I want, like, we're of the age, our age guys and gals, we've spent our entire athletics life talking and following and watching the highs and lows, but mostly highs in all-time greatness of LeBron James. So yeah. I'm invested. I would like to see him finish it where he started, where he won his most consequential championship with the Cavs, coming back from 3-1 against the Warriors, Nate Goforth's Warriors. But more than that, I would love to see LeBron go back to Cleveland in the same and win another title in the same year that Ole Miss like wins a football title, NCAA tournament, maybe go back to Omaha. Like, if we're wishing for what we want, there's a lot on the wish list for our friends. I'm just saying, there's a lot of wish lists there for the friends. At Tommy Rip says, y'all are amazing on a Friday at work. Thank you for joining us. This is work for us, and it's been a busy work week. Ole Miss, as we'll start here, recently this week, a couple days ago, picked up a commitment, something we've been previewing at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com for the Devon 3. Said it was coming. An RPM pick was put in from Zach. I wrote a story, essentially an RPM pick for myself. It's Colton Johnson, 3-star tight end, addresses one of the few remaining needs for Ole Miss in this class, up to 21 commitments now. What's the breakdown as we get going here, Zach, of one Colton Johnson?
Yeah, it's another really good athlete, a two-sport guy, two-way guy on the football field as well, plays basketball for Upperman, which is I guess it's 4A, I believe. Basketball and baseball are weird in Tennessee versus football, where football goes all the way to 6A. For the longest time, baseball only went up to 3A. So, like, basically your 6A schools were 3A in baseball. But Upperman's a really good program. They actually have, I knew about Upperman just from being here and knowing about the program, but they have a player who plays with Colton Johnson, whose name is Ty Cobb. He's a basketball prospect. He's committed to Liberty. But yeah, really good player. You know, he's just kind of a, I don't want to sell him too short. He's not averaging 20 a game on the court. He's kind of a, you know, your typical basketball or football player who plays basketball. He grabs a lot of rebounds, hustle plays. But on the football field, plays linebacker and plays tight end. He had 600 plus yards receiving last year and over, I think, 100 something tackles.
139.
Just a really good athlete. The offer sheet is pretty loud, as we like to say. A lot of big time offers. He snuck into to Oxford for an official back in June. You know, wasn't one of the high caliber, highly rated guys, but you look at the offer sheet there. I know Oregon and Dan Lanning came in late spring, early summer to offer him. Indiana's in there, Alabama, Tennessee. A lot of Power Four offers, but just another big athletic dude, 6'4". He's probably about 230, 235 now. I'm excited to go up there and see him play a couple times this year because it's a pretty short drive for me right outside of Cookeville. But just a good job there. Jake Schoonover recruits Tennessee, and then Cody Woodell, the new tight ends coach that just came over from Miami, did a really nice job here. A lot of different Power Four programs were trying to get him in. Just I think a lot of people love the upside, love the, you know, the skill set that you're going to get from him, just because he can do a lot of things. He can split out. He can play tight end out wide. He can get down in the box and block for you. He can be an inline tight end as well. But, you know, you think the hands and the feet from playing basketball are going to be good up to snuff there. And just another guy that I think continues this trend of, you know, hey, we really like the vibe that we get when we're around this staff at Ole Miss. A lot of energy, young staff, guys that are really excited about this program. And I think Colton Johnson's one that is excited to be a part of it. So I talked to him yesterday. We were exchanging some messages. He was going to call me. I'm sure yesterday was a big one for him. Getting a lot of texts, a lot of calls, people excited to congratulate him. So I'll talk to him at some point, but if I don't get him on the phone, I'll definitely see him this fall to go play for Upperman, which it was kind of confusing. So on the jersey, they have Baxter, and then the school is Upperman. It's named after a longtime school president. And so I was kind of confused there. I was like, did he transfer? Like, I know he's at Upperman, but why does it say Baxter? I think that's just kind of the Baxter, Tennessee. Just a nod to the town, but yeah, good athlete. Again, just Ole Miss looking for guys that can do a lot of different things well. And I think it's gonna serve him well at the college level just because he's so athletic and so versatile.
What's left? Tight end was one of the opening spots, and now Colton takes that up. Running back is more of a luxury than a need, or a want than a need in the high school class, because of what they did last portal cycle. Mm-hmm. After Kiwan, they have far more options than just a not quite himself Logan Diggs anymore. Mekhi Frazier was really good in the spring. He's a transfer from Michigan State. They like the upside of what JT Lindsey could be, a lot in the similar mold of a Jalen Walton, on and on. Dye, they like it with some of the stuff he's done for him as well. Shakai Mills-Knight still left there as well. So it's not like it's pressing from high school. Really, they wanted David Gabriel George. We think David Gabriel George is, like we've been saying for weeks, even though Ole Miss is one of the finalists, is going to Ohio State or Tennessee. I think that Tennessee's got the momentum right now. I'll let you speak to that. But outside of maybe running back, you're at 21 commitments now. They're going to take 25. So you're talking about four spots. We've kind of turned here to hold on and flip season. But more than that, what's left? What's remaining? Are there any major needs, pressing needs left?
Yeah, I think you're right on running back. I think that if you can get DGG, you obviously do it. They'll probably make another run at Ty Keyes, but like you said, the room is deep. I mean, JT Lindsey, you could kind of look at him as a freshman. Didn't play at LSU, so he's fresh. And then Shekhi Mills-Knight's still going to be there. And then you don't really know what's going to happen with some of the other guys. But, you know, there could be three, possibly four, that stay after this season. So you're not really pressing, in my opinion, to sign a running back in this class. And then elsewhere, I think it's just going to be a lot of flip targets. You're going to try. I mean, they're not going to stop recruiting David Gabriel George, whether he commits to Ohio State or Tennessee.
Which one do you think it is?
I still think it's Ohio State. I know there was a little bit of some ruffling of the feathers when news broke that he had made his decision and he was ready, still going to commit on the 22nd, but apparently David did not like that. Didn't like that coming out. So I don't know who leaked it, if it was Tennessee or if it was Ohio State. I still think it's going to be Ohio State. I don't think a lot of speculation about Adidas and Tennessee going back to Adidas for NIL purposes, because a lot of people say that Adidas is far more willing to go that NIL route of, offering deals. Gabriel George would certainly be someone that you would do that for. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just kind of a rumor that's been going around. I still think it's going to be Ohio State. He's probably, outside of the Ole Miss staff, outside of Jake Schoonover, his best relationship is with Carlos Lachlan at Ohio State. I think that will probably win out early, and it just remains to be seen if he sticks to it. If he picks the Buckeyes on the 22nd, will he stick with it on signing day? So we'll see. Like I said, Ole Miss is going to continue to recruit him. They're not going to stop. That'll be something that goes all the way to December. But as far as other targets, I do think it's a lot of flip targets. A lot of guys that are committed elsewhere, Caden Moss, a Benny Easter Jr., those types that Ole Miss is going to continue to plug away at as we get into the fall.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Zach Berry at Zach_Berry. We both write and talk about Ole Miss all the time, 365 days a year. I keep looking outside the window because, man, it's getting dark here in New Albany. Been raining like crazy. Has it been raining in Nashville for you?
Yeah, last probably 2-3 days.
It's been crazy. So it's getting dark out there, and I'm keep wondering, what happened to the lovely sunshine? I was in Tupelo all morning. I spoke at the Tupelo Kiwanis Club this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. I spent all week dreading it, not because I don't love the lovely people of Tupelo. It's just because, I hate doing public speaking, which probably is surprising to a lot of y'all because, I never shut the hell up. But I didn't want to do it, and I went there, and they were lovely, and it was awesome. And we, of course, I said, who knows me for the Lane stuff, and really all you know, and that's where it kind of went to. But driving back in, I mean, it was a beautiful, sunny, hot day. I was leaving. I talked to a nice fella whose son wanted to play at Ole Miss, and he had a lot of stories about David Cutcliffe and Rich Bisaccia, and it was a really cool time. But it was sunny, and now it looks like it's going to empty out on us. Somebody put earlier in the chat, September 6th can't get here soon enough. I agree. Louisville, Ole Miss, football season, football weather, football, all things, cannot get here soon enough. And as far as recruiting is concerned, the heavy lifting as you turn now toward fall camp, toward the fall season, toward December, in the first of two signing periods, as Cheney says, if the storm that just hit Ashland hits you, Ben, it's a big one. Well, dead gum. I hope it doesn't. If it does, God is good and he's sovereign. But my point is, I'm ready for Ole Miss football too, and now you're seeing that flipping, that change in recruiting specifically and doing all the heavy lifting to this point. And we've been asked a lot on the Ole Miss Spirit, this QR code right here. Join us today for $1. The QR code on the screen, man. Scan it as a new member, $1. And the question always is well, who is the next on commitment watch? Well, Colton Johnson was that guy. I don't know if there's an obvious guy for me left. But if we're talking about flip candidates, which is really what it's flipping to now or turning to now, Cade Moss makes sense. I don't think they get DGG and get it done and flip him, but they're going to continue to recruit him. Who are some other ones for you? Because Benny Easter is someone you get asked about a lot, right? Tay Walden, maybe you stay in that game, even though he's committed to Oregon.
Good job
with him. I don't know.
That's one. In my opinion, I do think that that one could swing back on Miss's way at some point. I'd been told for months that the distance was going to be too much to Oregon. We'll see. Dan Lanning and them do a great job, but it's a long way, as opposed to just, 54 miles to Oxford. So I think it's something that you could monitor for sure with Tay Walden. I think Ty Keys, as I mentioned him, Caden Moss, I think those are the main ones. For now, it just kind of depends on, how they feel about this class, whether it's 21, 24, 27, whatever, because you got to, as we say, Ben, you got to allocate those resources for the portal as well. So, but I do think it's going to be mostly flip targets. They're going to really narrow the scope and go for those main targets that they missed on the first go round.
He's Zach Berry. I'm Ben Garrett. We're going to talk now about the MLB draft. Before we do, I want to tell you about our friends at Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. I just recently bought two cars from them. I didn't want to. I ended up having to. And as miserable as that process is supposed to be, my guys Mason and Brian, they took care of me, and they'll take care of you too. Big old Miss dudes, but they're just good people. Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Online at allensamuelsoxford.com. Call them at 662-234-8000. Going to get to some questions before we jump to the draft from the chat. The first comes from at CPT Coop Dog 6497. What's y'all's opinion on Brett Harris and Ole Miss rescinding his offer? Followed another question about Harris and kind of the whole situation, if I can go and find it somewhere. There it is, from at Tommy Reb. What is the story on the Harris brother? Calvin Harris won a national championship. The only national championship for Ole Miss baseball in its history in 2022 was a big part of that. Hit bombs in the College World Series. Played all over the field, did a lot of great things. And this is the unfortunate and ugly side of this current environment in college sports and athletics. Is there truth? Did they pull the offer? Yeah, they pulled the offer, and it stinks. It's an ugly truth. Did it happen suddenly? No. Did it happen within a month of Ole Miss or him reporting to Ole Miss? No. They've been in communication with the family, hoping that the family essentially would do it for themselves, because Brett is not the same player he was. Of course he's not. He's been battling cancer. He's been battling a lot more than just how good of a baseball player he can be. But Ole Miss has 34 spots and 16 allocated for position players, and their only job is to win. Because even when they win and get to Omaha, which is something they used to not do and would be the only thing Ole Miss fans want to do, people will still call for jobs, which is what you should do. Like, you mad at Mike Clement or you mad at Mike Bianco for this, that, and the other, but also save that energy for cases like this. I would argue that, yeah, you probably could have been fine keeping the spot and not fracturing the relationship. But the truth of it is, yes, that scholarship was pulled. Was it as salacious, or the characterization that was portrayed in the quote media earlier this week, was that fair to Ole Miss? No, but also there's no disguising this. I mean, this is the ugly side of the portal, and those guys are paid to win, and they can't give up spots. And this isn't the same player as he was. I would argue about humanity and this, that, and the other, and I'm with all of y'all, but that's what happened on Ole Miss's end, and it doesn't look good. And it's not a pretty PR move, but that's what happened, at least my understanding of it. And that's kind of my whole read. What did you make of all of it, Zachary?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I defer to you because you spoke with people closer to it than I have. But, yeah, I mean, it's just part of it, unfortunately.
Yep, sucks.
Yeah, I definitely don't think the Ole Miss staff would have just randomly up and done this and not talked with the family just because of the relationship with Calvin. And, they're obviously
that family, they love that family. And like the kid, it's not like the kid's walking on at Iowa or something. I mean, it's, and I hate that for him too, but yeah, it's just, you can't have the energy of, well, got to Omaha and had, you know, you did all these things offensively, but we want to fire the hitting coach, and then go, well, wait a second. Why didn't you waste a scholarship on a guy who's not going to be able to play for you next year when their jobs is to only produce? We don't care about each other like we used to. That's the God's honest truth. We don't. Like, you want to get into a real breakdown of it? We don't give a crap about each other. We don't love our neighbor as God commanded us to like we used to. I'm not blaming Ole Miss for this. I think it's crappy, and Dakota's right. Not a good look for Ole Miss optics-wise. Terrible. Because it doesn't matter what the truth is. Well, at the end of the day, like, you pulled the scholarship. And you know what people are going to say? Well, Ole Miss did something wrong here. So if you're going to be judged by that, even in knowing that the context is never going to be enough, then you got to make really crappy moves sometimes. And this was a really crappy move. And but I don't think that Ole Miss just sprung it on him a month before he's supposed to report. No. Because honestly, all players that were supposed to report have been reported for a while now. Even guys that are about to be drafted, they're going to be gone, yeah. And yet they reported. So the math ain't mathing in that way, but I understand why the family's frustrated. I understand why Ole Miss is like, well, what else are we supposed to do then? But then that's a whole different conversation, talks more about what sports is at this point. But that's what I've heard.
It's – yeah, I mean, it's there's no easy way to – you can't really let anyone down easy with that news, so – it's just kind of part of the game. It happens more than people know. It's not something that's going to be publicized every single time it happens. Not that that makes it any better, but that's just part of it, especially with baseball, with the limited mm-hmm. number and with NIL and portal. And, you really have to, leave spots open just in case. I mean,
like the draft is coming up. It's like they're going after.
Because, I mean, yeah, Cole Prosek's going pro, but the 0.011 whatever percent chance that he wants to play in college, if that happens, you need a spot for him. Same thing with someone like Taj Marchand or one of the current Ole Miss players, Taylor Rabe. You have to prepare just in case. But yeah, it's a bummer. It's great for Brett that he landed at Iowa. I mean, it's a pretty good, you don't want to say it's a soft landing because he wanted to play at Ole Miss, but he's playing at a Power Four school in his home state. So he'll be fine. He'll get to play in college. But yeah, it's unfortunate. There's no really easy way or nice way to put it. It just kind of is what it is. That's just kind of part of the business, if you will, and just the pressure that the coaches are under to make tough decisions.
At the end of the day, a lot of it depends on the draft, but like Ole Miss still needs an infielder. They preferably an infielder, but they're taking best available right now. So they're after Caleb Koski, who is an Indiana transfer outfielder, and he's coming in for a visit next week. They need to add more offense. All right. What if you get back more than you expected and now you don't have scholarship options or spot options to go get a Caleb Koski? Like, if you're an Ole Miss fan, if you were making this decision, what would you do? I don't know what I would do. I would like to say that I would still just give the kid the scholarship and let him come and whatever and all these kind of stuff. But I completely understand where this win or else culture, what this win or else culture has created as far as decision-making for coaches. I get it. And I don't begrudge them of it because no one's going to remember this in 6 years, 5 years, four. What they will remember is after your Omaha year, when you swept the supers in regular regionals, got to Omaha, went 0-2. Did you fall back again? Did you get back?
I was going to say people aren't going to remember this in like 10 months.
But the truth is always going to be that Ole Miss robbed a cancer kid of a scholarship. Which,
I mean, look, the nature of the business, I mean, Jay Johnson and LSU won a national title, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
People are mad about LSU not making the postseason down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it has never been this, what have you done for me lately, than I can ever remember. So
no one cares. We don't care about each other like we used to. And I hate it. I think it sucks. Yeah, I think it's like we've lost a lot of the spirit of the thing. But if you're asking what happened, that's what happened. Let's get to some more questions in the chat because I want to talk more about the MLB draft coming up and what we can expect for Ole Miss. The draft starts tomorrow. Nate Goforth says he'll get me some Pontotoc gear. Won't be able to wear it here in New Albany, but, buddy, I'll wear it if you send it to me. I promise you. At Gary Grizzard 2090, I think the Ole Miss offense is going to be fine, but my worry is the defense, how good they're going to be. I think they improved at all three levels in the offseason, not just on defensive line, but especially at linebacker and in the secondary when they get Edwin Joseph back for fall camp. I think they've got depth of options, and that defense is going to make a significant jump, both in its final standing and total defense and all those kind of things. But just as far as turning them into more of a title contender, I think they're better defensively than they were at the end of the year, and they won a program record 13 games last year. You know, they just added to that. And last year they won a good defense, but I think now they have all the makings of a defense that's not going to be modern era breaking, record breaking like 2024 per se, but certainly a defense that is closer to that than last year ever was. So I'm not worried about that side of the ball. I'm worried about offensive tackle and essentially wide receivers after Deuce Alexander and Jontae Cook. And Horatio Fields I'll throw in there, but I just hadn't seen him myself. Need to see more from Daryl Gill, and Caleb Cunningham needs to be healthy. That's where my concerns are. And that's crazy to say because defense was their Achilles heel, but that's why every team is independent of the one that came before it and why I think this group will be great. Ben from at Jeff Sessions. Ben, do you look for big things out of Jaheim Otis this year? They better get big things out of him. I'm curious if where he's going to play. Defensive tackle, he got some reps at outside, strong side defensive end, especially with Jordan Renaud, the Alabama transfer down for spring. Curious to see if he's going to be a move piece on the defensive line, but I've also heard that they're maybe thinking about taking a look at him as like a tackle on offense. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of Jaheim Otis. I do know, though, that this is the prove it year for him. He knows it. Pete knows it. It's part of the recruiting pitch, Zach. And if we're talking about, like, I don't think Ole Miss's standing as a national championship contender is contingent on Jaheim Otis being that kind of impact guy. But if he does provide you the impact that he could provide if he reaches his maximum value, you're talking about adding even more gasoline to the fire of a true contender.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Ole Miss is taking Jaheim Otis if they don't believe in him and think that he could offer them something. We talked about it on the show previously about getting better in the trenches, getting deeper. I think Ole Miss saw that being a hindrance in the Miami game when the defensive line was just completely gassed on that last drive. You need bigger bodies. You need more bodies. And look, I mean, Pete Golding's very familiar with Jaheim Otis. Randall Joyner's familiar with him. So this isn't, you know, just a charity case. Well, you're from Mississippi. You can come back here and play your last year. Like, no, the staff expects him to come in and play and to have a role and to excel. I think he's going to be someone that's going to be able to come in and, you know, chew up some space. He can demand double teams, and that's only going to make things better for the other defensive linemen and the linebackers. So, I think he is going to be able to step in and, you know, with Barreau from Florida and be the Xavier Harris type, the guy that's going to come in and really demand attention from opposing offensive lines. So, yeah, I'm not saying that Jaheim Otis is going to go out there and have 12 sacks, but I think he's going to have a role, and I think he's going to be able to excel. I think, like you said, this is a draft year for him. This is a prove it. Like, you got to – it's now or never. And so I think that he knows that. And I think Ole Miss knows that. So they're going to push him. And I think he's going to have a big role. Again, not saying statistically, but I just think who he is and what he can do is important for Ole Miss this season.
At Tommy Rev, I have to get back to work. Go do what you got to do, but keep crushing it, guys. Thank you, man. Will anybody else be at the OU game in Oklahoma? I'll be there. Come find me. Love to hear from all y'all. Keaton Thomas is fun to use in College Football 27, according to at Nate Goforth. I bought College Football. We got a Discord set up. Still hadn't played it because, like, these microtransactions are a problem for me, Zach. They're a problem for me. I can't even, on offline play, playing the CPU, I have to pay to max out both my coach and also in Road to Glory as a player. I have to pay to play. I've already paid to play. Now you're telling me things that used to come with it. You're already taking away our physical games, but now things that used to be included in part of the experience you have to pay for. So you're not even buying the full capability of the game. You're buying permission to buy microtransactions. And it's finally come for the game we all have loved the most our entire lives. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, it's completely, I haven't even touched it yet. And I don't even want to, because I don't want to get in there and get into it and be bummed out because I can't go past an 80 with my player. I'm sitting on the bench in year two because I can't grow it at all organically. How does one get into said Discord for Dynasty? The Omen Spirit, omenspirit.com, Philly Devon 3. We got something on there. I'll find a way to get that to you. DM me on Twitter at Spirit Ben, and I'll send it to you. But yeah, it was a common L for EA. And my friend at Eric Jernigan, if Lacy wasn't on the cover, I would 100% return it. I wish I could return it. I wish I had a physical copy of Kiwan on the cover. At least then I could say that I could have something for my purchase. All I spent is $70 to have permission to build a coach that I can't even max out, or a player I can't even max out. What has happened to the game I love? We got so much more to talk about here on Talk of Champions. But first, let's hear from some of our some of our sponsors. Are you mad about this at all? Or like, is this doesn't bother you?
Not really.
Unbelievable.
I just don't really. I got pretty sick of the recruiting.
Yep.
Because I would spend a lot of time, and I just hardly got any better. So I was just like, I don't really care. I'll do a little recruiting, but I'm just gonna play. I got pretty deep in a dynasty. I got to like 2031 or something. And then I did a bunch of Road to Glories with just different positions. And yeah, I mean, I'll still play online. I'll probably bring back the EA college football preview each week. I'll play the game. I'll probably stream that.
How about we do that together?
We could. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll play the opposing team and you be Ole Miss.
Okay. Okay.
And then we'll talk about all the stuff.
But you're not
matching my energy. I feel like some in the chat are matching my energy because this is frustrating. If we don't take a stand now, they're just going to keep doing this crap.
There comes it's one of those control the controllables thing.
Oh, you just – hey, if you enjoy getting stepped on,
I mean,
keep enjoying the stepping. This is Talk of Champions.
Homes and businesses from the whims of nature. You need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends. I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Life is made up of moments. We care about those moments as much as you do. We are Modern Woodmen, a fraternal financial services organization. Member owned, not stockholder run. Since 1883, we've supported families, strengthened communities, and helped people reach their financial goals. From protection to saving to retirement planning, let us help you plan for those special moments in your life. We are Modern Woodmen of America.
Hello, friends. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm pretty simple when it comes to clothes. Whether I'm headed to the stadium in Oxford, running around New Albany, or just trying to get through another long day, I don't need a closet full of stuff. I just want clothes that fit, hold up, and don't make me think twice. That's why I've become a fan of Quince. My Quince organic cotton t-shirt has become one of those things I reach for all the time. It's comfortable, it fits the way I like, and after plenty of washes, it still looks new. Honestly, that's what surprised me the most about Quince. You expect that kind of quality from designer brands, but Quince delivers it without the designer price tag. Whether it's premium denim, tailored chinos starting at just $60, or even bedding, cookware, and travel gear, Quince has become one of my go-to brands because I know what I'm getting every time. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/TOC. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC.
Start my weekend
Own your day on the Network for Connected Living. There's more to see. Right now, get four free 5G phones and four lines for only $35 a month with a 5-year price lock. C-Spire, customer inspired.
Our thanks to C-Spire and Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, Game Day Haircuts, all of the sponsors who power everything we do here. The MLB draft is tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. Ole Miss is certain to lose Taylor Rabe and Cade Townsend. They're going to be first rounders. Hunter Elliott probably signs if he gets drafted. It's no sure thing if he's drafted. Same thing with Austin Faulley. If he gets drafted, that kid's going to sign and he's going to go, making Brady Dalemore the addition of the transfer catcher, first baseman, corner outfielder from TCU, all the more important. Any other guys you're keeping an eye on? I heard to keep an eye on Will Liebert. I think Hudson Calhoun, if he gets drafted, he's going to sign. You could lose a little bit more than you first anticipated. What are the big names outside of the obvious ones that you're keeping an eye on for the MLB draft? Because, again, what they do the rest of the way in the portal will be a lot, in many ways, in most ways, dictated by what happens in the draft over the course of the next 2 days. Indiana transfer outfielder Caleb Koski, supposed to be in for a visit next week, broke out as a sophomore for the Hoosiers. He's actually the son of Corey Koski, who played in Major League Baseball for a long time. But he broke out with Indiana, 372 last year, 461 on base, 6 homers, 42 RBI, 568 slug, matched the longest hitting streak in Indiana history at 21 games. And you're seeing a lot of that, too, with how much swing and miss almost had. And they got to Omaha, but it was a fatal flaw there in the 300s. You're seeing a lot more contact additions. He would be another one. But whether or not they add him or add him and others will be in many ways dependent on the draft. So what do you think about the weekend that's upcoming?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance Rabe and Townsend go at least top 35. I've seen, looking at some of the mocks, I've seen Townsend as high as 27 to the Mets. I've seen the Mariners taking Taylor Rabe at 24, which, just to give you an idea, the slot value there is like 3.8, almost 3.82. I've seen Cole Prosit going to the Brewers at 25. That's almost 3.7 there. Seen a lot of Braves talk for Townsend, Ben. So that's
a
little exciting.
Tease me with a good time.
3.6 slot value there. So yeah, these are picks where you're absolutely going. And you know, bonus pools fluctuate, but those top 40, bye-bye. No chance. But yeah, I think you kind of touched on all of them that I think are at risk, to be honest. I think I've seen Taj Marchand. He came in Baseball America's mock. I think he was around 33 to the Rays. He had a monster draft.
So long, partner.
Yeah, he had a monster draft combine. Hit the ball well there, and he hit the ball well all season as a senior. I think a lot of upside too with the glove. I think he's excellent on defense, but the hit tool is what people want. He's got some sneaky power too, and I think the Rays like that from him. But I don't really think there's anyone else, Ben. I mean, the Hunter Elliott thing is fascinating because he still can come back for another year. So it's kind of like, do you want to take whatever you get that's probably most likely going to be less than you get NIL-wise and, you know, eat a bunch of Holiday Inn Express breakfast buffets and ride on a bus?
The key with that is, like, I think he would prefer to do that, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah,
and even sure. And even if he doesn't get drafted, like, he'll come. If Hunter Elliott can accept the fact that if he comes back next year, he's probably never going to play Major League Baseball, then he's coming back. But if he gets drafted, he's going to sign. I mean, leverage for him.
No, and for him, like, he's kind of done it all. Like, he's won a national championship. He was a freshman All-American. He's, you know, been close or set records at Ole Miss. I mean, I guess that's the one thing he could come back for is to.
I heard that specifically from somebody with the program. It's like, if he comes back, he breaks all the records. He leaves as the greatest, which is fine. And like, what a nice soft landing. Instead of being a 20-year major league pro, you'll be one of arguably the greatest Ole Miss Rebel of all time.
It just kind of, depends on what he's looking for. Like what kind of, I'm not going to say legacy. Cause I mean, I think he's one of the best that Ole Miss has had, regardless of what you think of what he did this year. I mean, he was absolute nails in 22. You know, he was awesome for you down the stretch in the postseason. He was a huge part of why you won a national championship. It just kind of depends on what he wants to do. Does he want to hang around? I mean, look, there are worse places to live and have a pretty nice, comfortable bank account than Oxford, Mississippi. I mean, there are worse places to spend your time. But
if he comes back, like, it's no, like, he's not going to make the same amount of money he made this year. He's not the same player.
No.
You know, it's all valuation. Like, it's not personal. Just like with, unfortunately, the Brett Harris stuff. It's not personal. It's just, it's all professional and stuff. What are you wooing?
Belgium just tied it up 1-1.
Oh, sorry. Let's knock out. Like, here's the names outside of the obvious that I'm keeping an eye on. And I include Hunter Elliott in the obvious.
I think Austin Folley's gone no matter what, whether he drafted or, I mean, I don't think he's coming back to Ole Miss.
I don't disagree. Will Liberatt.
Yeah.
Hudson Calhoun. Owen Kelly. Because I think Dom Decker's coming back. But, like, we know about the obvious guys, but what about the rest of them? And I think of the rest of them, there are some legit, like, I think there's going to be at least a surprise or two.
Yeah,
I didn't love Will Liberatt, but damn it, he just got drafted in the freaking 15th. Yeah. And he's gone. You know?
I mean, it's the old adage of it only takes one GM, one scout. Somebody's going to like, you know, you mentioned Will Liberatt. I mean, he can touch 97, 98 from the left side. Not a lot of people can do it. So if somebody believes in him and thinks that they can change.
I can fix him. I can fix him.
I mean, yeah,
Ole Miss did it in the portal. Just give me the piece of clay.
Yeah, I think if you're Ole Miss, you'd prefer him to come back because I think he has the makings of being a weekend guy.
He opened in the weekend's rotation, for goodness sake. He was your Sunday starter.
And then he fell apart.
Rabe became Taylor Rabe, and like the rest is history. But you get what I'm saying, though. It's like there. It's there.
Sure. Yeah.
It's in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Cam K Rebel 7662. It's been a minute for me, but has Sudu ever come on anymore? Sudu's been blowing and going with Mudcat Media with Game Runs Deep. He's just changed up the way he does it. We've been talking all week this week. We've got a lot of stuff we're working on. So yes, like especially the football season, it's just the off season. He's tried some different things with it. But yes, Sudu is still very much a huge part of everything we do here at Talk of Champions, and especially at Mudcat Media. And when they need their Ole Miss stuff, I'll certainly help out when I can and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I love that. Dude to death, he's the best.
The Taylor Rabe, like, ascension has been pretty wild, but I was talking to a former Ole Miss player earlier, and he was like, you mean to tell me that Major League organizations like guys that strike out a lot of hitters and don't walk a lot of hitters?
Crazy.
And can throw 98? I mean, he had a 34.2% strikeout rate and a 4.9% walk rate. I mean, that's That's special stuff. Yeah, he's going to go early. Somebody told me they saw a mock with him at as high as 14.
Sounds good to me.
I think Taylor's probably going to, you know, probably going to get him a nice little pad up in Greenville when he's not playing in the summer. But I think you touched on the ones that are kind of, you know, quote, at risk for Ole Miss.
Beyond the obvious.
Yeah.
Because we know Cole Prosek's gone. We know that Cade and Taylor are gone.
Yeah. Taj Marshan's not playing for Ole Miss. No. I do think Christian Doty is going to make it to campus.
And he could play in the outfield for you a little bit.
Yeah, he's your third highest rated signee. That's kind of what you're banking on every year. I mean, I know people get mad about it, but that's just the nature of the beast with the draft. But you kind of go into signing day for baseball knowing your top two guys are probably not making it to campus.
But dang it if they ever do.
Yeah, I mean,
every
now and then a Gunnar Hoglund happens, but or a Cinquez Golson, but it's not very likely.
Like, isn't there something? Oh gosh, maybe in collective bargaining, because we're headed straight toward another lockout in Major League Baseball. I can't remember what I read, but like, anyway, something happened recently, and if you know what I'm talking about, Zach, go find it. But like, if Roman Anthony was forced to go to college, he would end up at Ole Miss. So would like Connor Griffin would have gone to, maybe it was State. I can't remember.
LSU.
Of course it was LSU. But think of like the Ole Miss Rebels that would have made it to campus, right? Like Jackson Job would be at Ole Miss. Like Cooper Pratt would be at Ole Miss.
I mean, Roman Cooper Anthony. Pratt,
imagine
Jackson
those
Job,
teams, dude.
And Roman Anthony right there.
I mean, think of those teams. It's insane. At Dorite, Ben, why haven't you done Stephen Willis Locked On Ole Miss? Never been asked. And any more from the chat before we move on to other things. What's next for Ole Miss baseball in the portal? That's what we've been talking about. I think the next step is adding at least another bat. The pitching decisions are kind of in wait-and-see mode, mainly because of the MLB draft, which starts tomorrow. It's 20 rounds, and it lasts through Sunday. What's next, I think, is hosting Caleb Koski, Indiana transfer, for a visit. We'll see what happens. What is Judge slot value? Well, where's he getting drafted? I don't know where he's going to get drafted. Sucks to see Mason Morris not get his flowers. Man, Mason Morris was absolutely awesome. He was great. But there was one more question in here that I wanted to get to that I'm just missing on, and I don't want to miss out. And I think I can't find it. Yeah, well, any more questions in the chat, let us know, and we'll keep rolling. Why isn't Fowley not wanting to come back, Zach, at SIP_90?
I mean, I think
just time.
A little similar to Hunter Elliott. Yeah, like it.
Time to go.
He's at the age where he's ready to go ahead and move on.
Like, Hunter's 24. He'll be 24 when he pitches for Ole Miss. Like, at that point, he's supposed to be in Major League Baseball. Is he ever going to get there at 24?
Yeah, I didn't mean that as a, like, Fowley has ill will towards Ole Miss. Like, no, it's not that. I think he's just ready to move on. Yeah, I mean, the Dalmore
catchers that can run into a home run every now and then, even though they don't hit for average and they strike out all the time. Like, those guys have jobs in the majors for 15 years.
Speaking of catchers, one of the mock drafts I saw, the Rockies getting Daniel Jackson at 37, that's some high value right there. Because that dude was an animal this year for Georgia, which I did. Somebody told me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Ole Miss finished second for Daniel Jackson when he was leaving.
Don't even remember this dude.
He's a catcher for Georgia. Did he win the Golden Spikes? Did they announce the Golden Spikes yet?
Yeah, like the historically one of the greatest offensive catchers in the history of the sport.
Yeah, and he's kind of a unicorn because he can run. Like, he's super athletic. He's not your typical, you know, backstop back there. Like, he's super athletic. Yeah, he won the Golden Spikes, but yeah.
But I can't get away. I don't remember his recruitment. I don't remember this one. Ole Miss was second for that cat?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Where was he from?
Oh, it's brutal. Well, why you look that up? At Cheney Young.
Well, he was at Wofford before Georgia. But he's from Sandy Springs, so it, you know, not crazy for him.
No, well, I mean, yeah, well, that tells me everything. At Cheney Young 7013, Ben, are you and Brad going to Nashville? And if you are y'all going to do a live pregame show? Yeah, that's the plan. We're also going to be in Tampa doing live shows from SEC Media Days. Brad is going to be live on the scene, very much like if you watched on Wednesday, He was live on the scene at the Mississippi Association of Coaches Convention. And we talked to Pete Golding and a bunch of others, including Tyrone Shorter, who had a great, who had some great things to say about Mitchell Turner that I wrote up for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, that QR code above Zach's head. Scan it today as a new member. Sign up for $1. Try us out. Read that Mitchell Turner interview. Read all of our reporting. Zach kills it with recruiting coverage. I mean, he's been, especially the last couple of days, it's just been one thing after another. Football, basketball, baseball, it's all covered all day, every day, not just for an hour on Talking Champions at the Ole Miss Spirit. So, yeah, we'll do some type of show, live show, certainly a post-game show from Louisville, the Louisville game in Nashville, and from Tampa we'll be live. We plan to be live wherever we feel like y'all would want us to be live. That's the whole plan. How much do you think Ole Miss will offer Hunter to come back, less than what he got last year? When is SEC Media Days? When is SEC Media Days?
July 22nd is the Wednesday that Ole Miss will be there.
So we'll be there. We're going to be there for multiple days.
So Jake will be there all week.
Yep.
I will be there just for Ole Miss. I don't know what Brad's schedule is, but is Sudu going to be there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Somebody's got to be in the chair. So I volunteer as tribute to be in the chair.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Ben St. Cloud Posse. I was looking forward to the early Ben Lane reunion. Now we got to wait for September 19th. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of wish I was going too. I've gone to every SEC Media Day, save for a handful, since 2006.
It's fine. I need them to just do it in Nashville every year.
Yeah, I do too. Tampa's a long way.
It was perfect.
Tampa's a long way. But like Brad will be there live on the scene, and I'll be here in the chair. And I told him like maybe Lane will join us from there. You know, I don't know. You don't know. But we're going to be there, and somebody has to be in the chair. I don't care to go to Media Days whenever. Like Zach loves it for some reason, so go. I'll be the man in the chair. But you know, you're going to be making some Talk of Champions appearances, a lot of them. So prepare yourself.
Yeah, I like going and seeing all the folks, seeing all my buddies. It's kind of like a nice little like somebody one year was like, it's like Twitter come to life. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty hilarious. Cause I have a lot of like quote internet friends that I've either never met or like only met like twice, but like I'm friends with them and talk to them all the time. Yeah, it's good to just go and like see everybody, catch up. And I mean, it's a great opportunity for content too. Like we're going to talk to a lot of people. I want you to
go around everybody that's there. That like I don't need you to do what Suntarian Perkins said about the season. Like Zach, you're not there to do that. I want you to do other stuff. I want you to go around and talk to Josh Pate and all those other dudes and like get cool stuff about Ole Miss. But like really, if you see, for example, who's a kid that Ole Miss desperately wanted that went somewhere else that might be represented at SEC Media Days?
I was going to say, I don't think anybody's released who is going yet.
I know that, but like, who comes to mind, went to another SEC school, balled out, Ole Miss desperately wanted him, could be
Arch Manning.
Arch Manning. You need to go sit there. You need to go set up camp in the internet room, which is more private and way better, like the internet TV radio, that room, not the big ballroom bullcrap or the breakouts. You need to be in that room. And like, you need to ask recruiting questions. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Arch, is it true now that can you admit it now that like you gave Ole Miss really no shot, only cursory shots, mainly because you were never going to play for Lane? That'd be awesome. Oh,
I got an opportunity. I'll get to see my good buddy, Marcel Reed.
That's the Ben St. Cloud Posse. Marcel Reed's perfect.
Yeah.
We got to talk to Marcel Reed. He already talked a little bit about this. He said what Lane told us and made us all look like liars, saying he was headed to Auburn and then the last minute change of heart, he was gone. Marcel Reed says it. Everybody goes, oh, did you hear about this? After y'all spent years calling us full of crap people, idiots. It's insane. So, yeah, you got to do that. Caden Lee, Austin Simmons.
Yeah, but they're not going to be there on that Wednesday.
Well, no, but
Jake or Brad, yeah.
Get Jakey over there. Like, I want to get Caden on the pod, man. Caden, we were going to do a podcast together. We're going to call it The Buzz with Caden Honeycomb Lee. And then it just –
The Buzz.
I loved it. The Buzz with Kate and Honeycomb Lee. They kind of petered out of these things too. That'd be a good one. Man, Dakota and Ben, Sane Clown Posse, man, y'all come in with some big ones. I like it.
I could just go around and ask people if they have Hovey dry goods hats, and if they don't, why not?
Yeah.
Because I know Jeff Levy loves them.
I mean, now you're just asking, you know, now you're just asking for like
Texas is on that Thursday, so I'll miss.
You don't have to. You don't have to miss. I'm sure Jake will let you sleep on the floor.
Maybe Arch will be at the happy hour or whatever on Wednesday night.
Now, do they even have happy hour in Tampa? I don't even know how that works. All right, what are you most watching out for in Ole Miss sports this weekend? Go.
It's the draft. I mean, I think it's important. It's going to have implications for the portal. You know, a lot of the like Will Libert, Hudson Calhoun, those are two guys that you want back for 27. I think those are huge pieces of that pitching staff and that bullpen that you would want to be back in 27. If not, Ole Miss has already locked up several pitchers in the portal, but are they going to go get more? And then, yeah, I mean, the top two guys, Prosek and Marchand, are gone. Keep an eye out for, you know, if somebody takes a flyer on Christian Doty. I don't think it'll happen, but you never know. But yeah, that's it. I mean, honestly, my weekend is going to be consumed by Norway and Erling Haaland. I'm dialed in for that.
Like Nate Goforth hits up at TJ Daugherty about a potential SEC media guy. Yeah, that's a great one. If Bull's there, I'd love to see Bull. But then at Jackson-CG2MQ, Ethan Flatt, fantastic. Fantastic. What a great name. Here's something to watch out for. Tomorrow, July 11th. This is July 11th, right? Yep. Tomorrow, former Ole Miss tight end Evan Ingram is hosting a youth sports camp and Special Olympics Mississippi Skills and Drills Clinic at the Manning Center. It's 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for the youth sports camp, and then 2 to 4 for the Special Olympics Mississippi Skills and Drills Clinic. Evan's in his second season with the Broncos, 10th in the NFL. Man, and that sounds wild. That sounds wild. I remember covering him as that skinny kid at camp that Hugh Freeze goes, dude, he's got the best hands of anybody here. And I'm like, that guy looks like he's nothing. And he's 10 years pro. There's something to look out for if you want to get involved in that. If I can make it, I don't know if I can, but if I can make it, I'm going to try to get out there, talk to Evan, catch up with him, see how he's doing. But that's at the Manning Center tomorrow. That's something to keep an eye out for because I'm curious what Ethan would say. Not Ethan. I got Ethan Flatt on the freaking front. But what Evan would say about his alma mater and his relationship to it and all the Lane stuff, but also his belief in Pete and all that. I mean, Evan Ingram, what a story he was. A three-star that no one gave enough credit for. Started as a true freshman wearing number 17 at tight end, and he's been good ever since. And quite literally a true recruiting diamond in the rough find for Hugh Freeze and staff. So that's something to watch out for this weekend. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's the draft. It's the MLB draft.
You could say, and I'm not hinting at anything happening, but Ole Miss is still waiting on Mojave King.
And I've been telling y'all that's 50-50. And it's 50-50.
It's very real because
– like, if you don't get him, then what? You're only going to play with 13?
No, they'll find. I think they're still looking for another addition, whether he signs or not. But yeah, I mean, he meets the requirements. I mean, he didn't play in the NBA. You know, he never signed any you know contract. So like,
who, Mojave?
Yeah, he never actually played in the NBA. He played.
Yeah, he played
like
the G League.
Yeah, that doesn't count though.
Then what like is the, not, then what then why is it even I don't know.
It's like, I'm saying he didn't play in like an actual NBA like regular season game. Where like there are guys that sign other places that like played in the league and then are like, nah, I want to go back to college. But
well, I've been saying like, I knew after meeting with Beard and being over there for that day that like the Ben Henshaw one, that one was gonna happen and it happened. I think it was this week, right? And like he changes that roster. He does. Yeah. He makes that roster deeper and better and more interesting than it otherwise would have been. Yeah, still, I mean, I'm going to wait and see mode, but like Mojave King would put it over the top and make it really freaking interesting, even though I'm going to be in wait and see mode regardless all the way up to it. But like he was drafted by the Lakers, was Mojave King. draft rights, traded to the Pacers, and he played the G League for the Pacers. Then he goes to Australian basketball, professional basketball. So it's a coin flip. It's a coin flip for him, but way more so than Ben Henshaw. And I'm just curious what they do if they don't get him, because there's a chance they don't. I don't know. I don't know.
Give a lot of credit to Ole Miss, because I was told by several people that Henshaw just had to do like one or two classes to go to college. And I guess with Kansas, Florida, and Texas Tech, he was just like, no, I don't want to do it. And Ole Miss figured out a way to get him, talk him into it. So good on them. No, he definitely – I mean, I think that backcourt with him, Pinkins, and, you know, Ilias, that's three dudes right there. And, you know, the stats aren't crazy. Like, 9 points a game. But, I mean, a lot of people say the Australian – the NBL or whatever is one of the better, if not the best, non-NBA professional league. So he's playing against guys that can play. That was a big one for sure. It was a long time coming. It was just a lot of red tape and a couple hurdles and a couple hoops to jump through. But yeah, that's a huge get for Ole Miss for sure.
This is Talk of Champions, has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben. He's Zach Berry at Zach _ Berry. More on the basketball roster and Mojave King and Ben Henshaw and what Chris Beard is doing at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com and affiliate of On Three. The QR code above Zach's head is for the Ole Miss Spirit. Scans today as a new member. Tries out $1 for 5 days. More to come. I think I'm going to go out there and try if I can get out there to see Evan Engram at his camp at the Manning Center tomorrow. Be on the lookout for the MLB draft and for players we've kind of laid out that outside of the obvious, Ole Miss is going to be monitoring. So much more to come here on Talk of Champions and on the Ole Miss Spirit. So stay locked in. How you can help us the most, subscribe to the Ole Miss Spirit. We thank you for it, as well as all of those nice things you say in the chat and in the reviews on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Talk of Champions. You've been really kind to us, and we're so thankful for it. See you, Zach. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Need one of them hats. Need